50, right?
They've got money, but you've also got a lot of unhappy people.
Well, let's get started, folks. Do we have a quorum? Brenda, how are you?
You do have a quorum, Chair.
All right, let's get started. Welcome, everybody, to the Executive Committee agenda for Monday, December 5th, 2022. It is 4:30, and just a reminder that pursuant to Assembly Bill 361 and the findings made by CVAG, this meeting will be conducted via teleconference. Instructions for public participation are on the CVAG website. Please click on the Executive Committee website. With that, I'm going to go ahead and call the meeting to order and ask the clerk to please call the roll.
Good evening, members. City of Palm Springs, City of Indio, 29 Palms, Torres Martinez, Cabazon Band, Quiendid. Sorry. She's here.
Here.
There we go. Agua Caliente Band of Quiendians.
Here.
City of Indian Wells.
Present.
City of Cathedral City.
Present.
City of Palm Desert.
Here.
City of La Quinta.
Present.
City of Blythe.
Here.
Riverside County, 4th District. He's here. Yes. City of Rancho Mirage.
Here.
City of Desert Hot Springs and City of Coachella.
Here.
Chair, well, you have a quorum.
Thank you. With that, I'm going to ask Mayor Evans if you could lead us in the pledge.
Be honored to do so. Please stand. Thank you, Supervisor, for having a flag in our vision. Oh, and there's a large one for us. Place your hand over your heart. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible,
liberty, and justice for all.
All right, we'll move on to agenda modifications, or if any, Mr. Kirk, are there any modifications?
There are none.
All right, we'll move on to item number 5, public comments. This is the time and place for members of the public to address the executive committee on the agenda items. Are there any public comments?
Chair, we received no written comments, and I don't see any hands raised at this time.
All right, we'll move on now to Chair, Executive Director announcements. I will begin by just making one comment regarding an upcoming meeting this Wednesday. We do have the unique fortune to have the czar, as the governor is naming him, Antonio Villagrosa, will be making his way into the Coachella Valley to talk about infrastructure needs. There's going to be two meetings. One is being, well, actually, there's two individuals that I need to just thank, Supervisor Perez, Lisa Middleton, Mayor Middleton, that are spearheading these efforts. One of the meetings will be in Coachella at the library, and the second half of the meeting will be at the Palm Springs City Hall. You all should have, some folks should have got an invitation, but if you didn't, please let Tom know or myself know about any requests potentially for the region that you all are interested in. Just as a reminder, there's about $100 billion that the state has, $50 billion from the state and $50 billion from the Fed that are going to be going to infrastructure projects. So we are going to try to make a case for some regional dollars. And with that, Tom, do you have any announcements?
I've just got a couple, and one of these will be very familiar to Mayor Gutierrez, and that is the opening of the Ofelia Bringas Memorial Bridge Project. This is a project that used a lot of federal money and some CVAG money and certainly some city money, long under construction, long planned. I think we started planning this, a dozen years ago. I certainly learned a lot about Ms. Bringas from the mayor, who had a personal connection. Mayor, I don't know if you want to add anything there.
Well, I just want to thank everyone for doing what you did regarding Mrs. Bringas, Ophelia Bringas. She and her, of course, her entire family is really appreciative of this memorial bridge. So thank you.
Good. Next one is another grand opening. This is of Grapefruit Boulevard, urban greening, This is near and dear to your chairman's heart, Chairman and Mayor Hernandez. The project, again, a long plan, maybe not a dozen years, Mayor, but certainly quite a few. Got some urban greening dollars. CVAG contributed $1.5 million. And Mayor, I can't remember how many trees you told me were planted there, but it sure sounded like a lot. What was it?
About 286 trees and 1,100 plants that were planted.
And it's absolutely gorgeous. And it actually came up again in our Energy and Environment Committee meeting that Mayor Evans is a part of, and certainly many of your colleagues as well. The notion of getting more of these urban greening dollars to do shading and addressing heat impacts in our community. So it's a beautiful project. I encourage everybody to head down there and check it out. Lastly, I do want to note this meeting might be a little bit longer than usual. Our meetings run generally less than an hour. We're going to try to keep it to that on a staff end. And we do have a closed session afterwards. Your link to that closed session should be in your calendar appointment. It's a separate meeting link. And Erica Felci will be sending you a link too. It's the same one. You could use either method to get onto that meeting. She'll do so towards the end of this meeting, just so we don't confuse ourselves. With that, Chair, that's the extent of my report.
Thank you. We appreciate that because we do have a lot of goodies on this agenda. So very proud of the work that CVAG staff is doing. With that, we'll move on to the consent calendar. What are the wishes of the executive committee? Is there a motion to approve?
Move to approve Palm Desert.
I'll second that.
There is a motion by Palm Desert and a second by Ranch Mirage. All those in favor signify by just waving your hands.
Aye.
Are there abstentions or any no's?
I am going to abstain from the minutes.
There is one abstention from...
It's from the minutes.
From Indian Wells on the minutes. Mm-hmm. That will be noted. We'll move on now to item number 7-1, items held over from the consent calendar. Seeing none, we'll move on now to item number 8. This is a contract for regional PM10 street sweeping. Mr. Martinez.
Hi, Honorable Chair, members of the committee, Emmanuel Martinez. Here before you presenting a regional street sweeping contract. As you are aware, just getting right into it, our area is in non-attainment. For PM10, and I know some of you guys, members of the committee, Energy and Environment, have seen this before, but I'll go through this quickly. And PM10 is bad for our health. At the end of the day, that's the message here. Here is a picture of how bad it gets out on our streets and a size of PM10 in comparison to other particulate matter, which, again, it gets into your lungs, can be very bad for your health. So we have this regional street sweeping program that addresses public health and safety as it relates to PM10. We currently have a contract with M&M Street Sweeping. They sweep the entire Coachella Valley. However, their contract was extended for 6 months back in June to December 31, 2022. And as you may recall, we did receive a grant from the South Coast Air Quality Management District and to the tune of $1.1 million. And this also included effectiveness and efficiency study to unlock years 2 through 5, which totals $880,000. The grant did include $50,000 for the study. Some of the main findings of the study and recommendations are to weigh the trucks to increase data for a program, also a GPS tracking to improve the management and coordination collaboration with the rest of the cities, and to ensure we're using clean natural gas in all aspects of the program. And we're also adding a few streets. These streets were added based on average daily traffic numbers, which were 10,000 vehicles. And also they were prioritized whether they were in or out of the Blow Sand. Those in the Blow Sand were prioritized. So we do have one in Palm Springs, another one in Palm Springs East Mesquite. Ranch Mirage, we're adding two streets there, Doval and Los Alamos, and then Avenue 50 in Madison in the city of La Quinta. Those are the streets that we're going to be adding to the program. This was a qualification-based proposal. We did receive two proposals, one from M&M, which is a current contractor, another one from Clean Streets. The selection committee was comprised of staffs from the respective cities you see down below. And after they were all scored and evaluated, Clean Streets came as the selection and recommendation before you today. Their contract is proposed to be $763,573 per year. It's going to be a three-year contract with an option for 2 1-year extensions. We opened up the qualification-based proposals in August. We closed in September. The committee made the recommendation. We went to Energy and Environment Committee, and now we are before you based on the E&E recommendation. So with that, our recommendation is to authorize the executive director to enter into a contract with Clean Streets for the previously stated amount. And with that, be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the committee? Seeing none, is there a motion to approve this item?
Laquinta moves approval.
A motion by Laquinta. Is there a second?
Cathedral CS seconds.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye or raising your hand. Are there any abstentions? Are there any nays? Seeing none, motion carries. We'll move on now to item number B. This is the next steps for the arts and music line. Mr. Hoy.
Yes, Honorable Chair and members of the Executive Committee. The arts and music line is located in the eastern Coachella Valley. The project will extend along Avenue 48, connecting La Quinta, Indio, Coachella. There's also a small portion in the county and also connecting through some tribal lands. There'll be two connections to the CV Link. The pathway will connect 11 schools. It'll also tie in to a number of other institutions as well as the festival grounds there in Indio. In preparation for Cycle 4 of the ATP State Cycle 4 funding, back in 2019, the Executive Committee approved the Bicycle and Ped Safety Program, which was to invest funds into shovel-ready projects for ATP applications to compete well. Back at that time, Webb and Associates was selected as the consultant to work on the arts and music line. There was two other consultants that were selected to work on projects both in Cathedral City and Desert Hot Springs. The arts and music line was submitted in both cycles 4 and cycles 5. Unfortunately, it did receive funding for those cycles. The way those applications are reviewed, it starts first at the state level with their score. Each application is scored on a 100-point scale. And based on the available funding, they go down the point scales and come up with a cutoff. And unfortunately, we were close, but we didn't receive funding in those rounds. There's also, however, smaller pots of funding that is sent directly to the various NPOs. And so SCAG, with point criteria developed by RCTC, reviews projects within our NPO area and rescores or adds scores to those projects that didn't get funding on the state level. And in those cases, the arts and music line was selected to receive partial funding in both those cycles, but unfortunately we didn't have the regional funding to make up the difference, so we had to decline those that funding for those projects. However, in cycle 5, there was in the NPO round, Cathedral City did receive an award of $4.4 million for one of their projects, for one of their ATP projects. Now for cycle 6, what we did was we went back to the executive committee and got approval to use contingency funding for from the original contract with Webb and Associates to rework our application, to update it, make sure we're getting the maximum points available. We submitted that application in June, and we hoped and prayed once the application was in, and it was announced in October. The state announced their staff recommendations for funding, and the arts and music line was selected. The CTC will be reviewing those recommendations this week on Wednesday and Thursday. CVAG staff will be in attendance to be there at that time. We $36.483 million is recommended to be awarded for this project. Additionally, in that second round I spoke about earlier about the MPO round, SCAG, there's recommendations for two additional projects in that MPO round in Desert Hot Springs for an additional $17.3 million for those two projects. That represents about 39% of the available MPO funding that was available going to Desert Hot Springs. And again, the $36 million represents about 4% of the available, I think 5% coming to Riverside County. So we did very well in this ATP round cycle six. The project itself is, as I mentioned, $36 million. It includes about 9 miles of protected bikeway extending along the major corridor of Avenue 48. It also includes 6 miles of school spurs connecting 11 disadvantaged schools, 19 existing affordable housing communities. It also includes a bicycle program that will include a bike walk train program developed at each of the schools. There'll be route maps, both digitally and handouts. They'll host bike rodeos to encourage proper use of the facilities and train the kids on how to use them. The design itself of the arts and music line embraces bold colors, some lighting effects, and also artwork. It's creating a safe place, a space, both in at night and during the day, inviting users to come out and become more of a destination itself than just a route. The original contract was with Webb and Associates was $2.7 million. Staff is recommending an amendment to that amount to complete the required NEPA and to also do the design changes that were proposed in cycle six. Some of that is extending spurs to additional communities and also adding in that program funding for the bicycle program. In addition, there will be a reimbursement agreements with each of the three agencies, La Quinta, Indio, and Coachella. The amendments are attached to your staff report. These amendments are only for the increase to split the share of the increase in the design cost, the $1 million that's listed in item two. We'll come back to the executive committee when plans are developed and we actually have a refined, more accurate construction cost so that we can split the local share between the agencies participating. That completes my staff report, and I'm available to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Hoy. I want to thank staff for reworking the project and sticking with it, and also the advocacy, because I know that you were very active in making sure this dollar got here. So with that, are there any questions? Any comments? Congratulations. Is there a motion?
Cathedral City moves approval.
There's a motion by Cathedral City. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Who said that?
Chairman Milanovich here.
Oh, Chairman Reed. Thank you, Reed.
Chairman. I'm hiding in the bushes.
All those in favor, signify by raising your hand. Any abstentions? Any nays? Motion carries. We'll now move on to formula funding distribution with Riverside County Transportation Commission. Mr. Hoy.
Yes, good afternoon again. There's been a longstanding partnership between RCTC and CVAG, which includes a number of agreements dating back to the adoption of Measure A and also to the adoption of SB 45 and the STIP programming that was distributed throughout the area to Riverside County. Last year, recognizing the cash flow challenges throughout the region on getting infrastructure funded, Tom Kirk, our executive director, directed CVAG staff to review our existing agreements and interagency policies to identify funding and to memorialize our approach to the equitable programming of regional, state, and federal funding. I'd like to review some of those some of the funding agreements that we have in place, and also some recommended changes that we're working on in cooperation with RCTC. So to review, Measure A is a half-cent sales tax in Riverside County. Once that tax is collected, taxable sales by area are calculated and divided up into the three regions. And then from those regions, in Coachella Valley specifically, the funding that comes to Coachella Valley is split based on the pie chart here on how that money is spent. CVAG is not recommending any changes to this, but I just want to point out the formula of how this the funding is split and divided amongst the areas, because we're going to use that approach on another funding source. The other funding that comes for planning is our local transportation fund. This is a quarter cent sales tax by the state, and county gets its pro rata share. And this funding is split between transit, and there's also some transit, rail, bicycle, pedestrian, and then there's some 3% planning funding. And of that 3% planning funding coming to the county, it's split amongst the regions according to this pie chart. So CVAG gets 30% of that funding. You'll notice it gets more funding than RCTC, but that is because CVAG has developed its TPPS and is more involved in planning and programming, prioritizing projects throughout the Coachella Valley. Moving on to the STIP program. The STIP program runs on a two-year cycle. Again, the county gets its pro rata share, divided up by taxable sales by area. And then based on those capital sales, the taxable sales by area, Coachella Valley receives an amount of capital improvement funding available to program. There's also 2% of that available capital improvements funding is available for PPM, which is planning, programming, and monitoring. And this is what I want to highlight in our agreement. So the PPM that comes to Coachella to CVAG, there's a couple ways to calculate the how to split that up. And what we had been doing in the past was divided. We've come up in years ago to came up with a fixed amount of about $50,000. And so we were getting $50,000 a year, putting in our budget at CVAG for this plant PPM funding. But in looking back at the history, going back about 10 years, that if we looked at the taxable sales approach and looked at the available funding that was available in each of those STIP cycles, and then looked at the 2% of that, the column on your far right should have been the money based on that formula, which CVAG should have received to pay for those PPM service, the work that we do. So that's our recommendation that we've agreed on with RCTC. This funding has been already calculated, and we didn't lose any of that funding. They've gone back and looked at the history. And so we're getting that $1.4 million, and we're able to bill against that. So that's what we're proposing to change here on how we program the PPM. The next funding source, this is the last one, is our SB1 created a local partnership program, and it's had a couple of funding sources. The LPP is about $200 million that comes each on a two-year cycle. And about 60% of that funding is formula-based and 40% is competitive. If we look at the formula-based 60% funding, where that funding has gone since the 2017 has all gone to Western Riverside County. They programmed that on the projects you see here on the board. What we're proposing is to take that 60% formula funding and divide that up based on taxable sales and then distribute it that way. So if we look at the Coachella Valley share, going back since the inception of this programming back in 2017-18 fiscal year, if we calculate what our share should have been, projecting out to the next two cycles, we should have about $14 million of funding in this program, which is formula, and we could program that for future projects. So moving on to our recommendation, we'd like you to authorize the executive director to negotiate this MOU between Riverside County Transportation Commission and CVAG, and look at these different funding programs, and we'll develop an update or addendum to the existing MOU to memorialize those agreements, and most specifically how we're dividing up the, how we're programming the PPM and how we're programming the LPP. I'm available to answer any questions. That completes my staff report.
Thank you, Mr. Hoy. Are there any questions? Oh, Kathleen?
Yes, thank you for this work. Have we had preliminary conversations that lead us to expect agreement?
Yes. We developed this the staff report, and RCTC staff has also reviewed it and agrees with it. Once if the executive committee approves this, we will start developing the actual MOU that we'll bring back to you that codifies this.
Mr. Chair, if I could make a plug for council members from Palm Desert with the last name of Kelly. This staff report falls into the trust but memorialize category. And we have a long partnership with our friends in Western Riverside County. And we know that we only represent 20% of the vote countywide. So it's important to put some things in writing to make sure that we get our fair share of certain transportation funds.
As I have been taught. So I would love to move to approve.
Absolutely. There is a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Quinto will second.
There is a second by La Quinta, and just good work, staff, for catching this and making sure that we get our fair share. All those in favor, signify by waving your hand. Are there any abstentions? Are there any nays? Seeing none, motion carries. We'll move on now to item number D. This is next steps for Interstate 10 Monroe Street Interchange Project.
Honorable Chair, members of the committee, this project is located in East Valley. It's located in Indio. It's the interchange just east of Jefferson Street. The interchange project we've been working on this for many years, going back about 10 years when CBAG funded PSRs, project study reports for all the future interchanges along I-10. It's very similar to the bike pedestrian program where we were investing in getting projects ready to compete for funding. But since then, the city of Indio has been the lead. They contracted with the county, and now the county of Riverside is managing this project for the city. They've worked through the environmental phase. They've also are currently working in the PS&E phase, which is the final design phase, and then moving on to right-of-way. We expect this project to be completed and ready for construction in about 2 years. This is about $89 million construction project. And to date, we have last cycle of STIP funding. CVAG recommended that $7.5 million of that STIP funding be programmed for this project. It is the number one project in our TPPS. And in anticipation of this project coming online and being ready for construction in a couple of years, CVAG has been working on developing a funding program for it. And utilizing some of the work we've done with RCTC over the last 2 years, we think we've come up with a way to fully fund this project. But it also requires that we secure our local match in order to receive the federal and state fundings that I'm about to describe to you. So out of the $89 million, the first thing is to program that $14 million in LPP funding towards this project so that we secure the Coachella Valley share on this number one project. Also include the $7.5 million I mentioned that's in the STIP, and an addition of $26 million in surface transportation block grant funding, which is a federal funding that comes through Riverside County. And in our work with RCTC, based on our population share in this case, if we look at the next 4 years of funding that comes to the Riverside County, that would be $26 million represents Coachella Valley's share. So that would secure the $33 million and the 14, leaving $41 million remaining for this interchange. And if we look at how we've broken up the cost sharing for regional projects to date, it's the 75-25 cost share. So that results in a $30 million of regional CVAG funding. And then the remaining $10 million would be City of Indio. And I believe City of Indio has already budgeted that $10 million in their adopted budget. So our recommendation is to authorize the funding, the regional transportation funding, an amount of that $30 million. And with that local share secured, the executive director will then work with RCTC to allocate the additional LPP, the local partnership program, and then the STBG funding to get that state and federal funding secured so that this project will be ready to go to construction in 2 years.
Just to clarify on one item, Jonathan mentioned that local share of $10 million that Indio has already budgeted. They have budgeted for the next couple of years to provide that funding, but there ultimately would likely be some sort of cost sharing that we would propose among all the beneficiary cities and users of the interchange, but that is still many years away. With that, you have his recommendation, our recommendation, and we're ready for Q&A.
Yes, Mayor Evans.
Have we done that in the past?
Only every time. Yes.
Every interchange that we've done that?
Every interchange, as long as I've been around, and before that, we do a cost-benefit study based on trip ins and beginnings, and Jefferson Interchange was the latest. While Indio and La Quinta paid a little bit more than most, even Mayor Mattis, if he looks back at his budget a few years ago, pitched in for the construction of Jefferson Interchange. And it's an unusual arrangement for those of you that might remember your CVAG 101s with me when you were first elected. It's amazing. It's amazing that everybody chips in for these regional projects that benefit truly the region.
So maybe when we get to that point, when they're negotiating their $10 million, we could look at the past contributions of that. Just
yeah, we could planning provide, phases. We could provide all that information. It's not so much how much you've contributed in the past, but how many trips begin and end in your city.
I get it.
Yeah, I'm trying to encourage folks from La Quinta and Indio to go down 50 and 52.
I bet you are.
All righty. Any other questions? Seeing none, can we get a motion on this project?
I'll move to approve the motion.
There's a motion by Rancho Mirage. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a second by the county. All those in favor, signify by waving your hands. Any abstentions? Any no's? Seeing none, motion carries. We'll move on now to a reimbursement agreement for Jefferson Street widening. Eric.
Good evening, Honorable Chair and Executive Committee members. I'm excited to bring you a couple of projects. This first one being a reimbursement agreement for Jefferson Street widening, which does contain, in the City of Indio, it does contain the third-ranked project in our TPPS, which is this first segment of this project between Avenue 39 and Avenue 40. You'll see it stops just short. There's a little gap at the top. That's at Shadow Hills High School, where that has already been improved to its final cross-section. But that is the top 10, number 3 ranked project in the region. The city has also put it together with Avenue 38 to Avenue 39, which is in our TPPS, although low ranked, and the piece on the bottom from Avenue 40 down to Sun City Boulevard, which completes that segment. The City of Indio did put together a traffic study, which evaluated that entire piece. And again, it's been a while since the TPPS, and so they looked at the traffic conditions and found that by putting these three pieces together into one project, they were able to build a project that met the level of service that was acceptable for the entire corridor, north of the 10. And so they have recommended completing this sub-corridor and moving forward with just the initial phase, which is the preliminary engineering phase, which is estimated to cost $300,000, of which CVAG's share would be 75%, which would be the recommendation to provide 75% of the regional funding for the preliminary engineering study of this project. And that is my staff report. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Seeing none, can we get a motion to approve this project?
Intim moves approval.
The motion, is there a second?
Agua seconds.
There is a second by Agua. All those in favor signify by raising your hand. Any abstentions? Any no's? Seeing none, we'll move on now to construction contract for CV Sync Phase 2. Eric?
Last, but certainly not least, is this project. You've seen this slide from me before. Make no little plans. They have no magic to Sturman's blood. I like to show this because this project is exciting. The first phase got us to an exciting project. But in our RFP for this whole thing, we laid down the gauntlet. We said, look, we want this to be similar to any project in the country and be as unique as it is bold in scope. And it already was, but now by adding phase two, and when you look at the map, the phase two is all the pink corridors. It truly, we were covering the region with our blue line with 111 and Washington and Ramon. But now when we add in those pink corridors, it truly is a matrix. It's the entire network of our region. And this is a unique project. There's nothing going on in the country right now that puts together this type of a network. There's corridors that go through multiple cities, although not as robust as we are doing. But this is not going on elsewhere where an entire region is able to participate and put together a network of synchronized signals. Just to give you an update on phase one. So as of last month, the field work is done. There's a few punch list items remaining that we'll be working through. But again, this was a technology project that had construction elements. The construction elements are done. The first of the three corridors, Washington, is synchronized. Again, there's a few punch list items left on that, but of the three, it is synchronized and will be fully synchronized in operation probably by the end of the year. We have been working on this winter and will continue working on integration and timing. The integration is hardware and software. Again, this is a technology project. I'd almost say the field work was the easy part. The integration is the really hard part. It's tying all of that unique hardware and unique software, all those different systems together, and then working out the timing for synchronization and fine-tuning it. As we move forward into 2023, we'll be working on our final documentation. When I say acceptance, this isn't just acceptance by our construction management team and CVAG. This is acceptance by your city staffs. To the degree you want to be involved, you will be involved. You'll be inspecting, you'll be accepting, and we'll be testing. We'll be making sure it all works. We'll be commissioning it. That's an update on our phase one. Again, the field work is done. We're working on integration. This project was set to end in November. As with most large construction projects, things changed along the way that will extend the end date. The extended end date is right now set to be April to May. Again, nothing so much unforeseen as just delays that were encountered in the project that we couldn't foresee. And this is what you've been seeing. It's construction equipment. It's out in the field. It's digging holes. It's making a mess. It's putting in pull boxes. We're used to seeing this, and that's construction that's been in the field. What we've moved towards, as we get into your city halls, and this is in Indian Wells, as we get into your city halls and connect up, we have been working on the training on the left. You see city staffs being trained on our latest hardware and software and how to use them. And on the right, this is a meeting of people. There are people from, I think, four or five different states in that room, in person. Even though it's technology, it's still an in-person because it's very important. This is such a unique project that we felt it was very necessary to have an in-person meeting to coordinate the tying together of all these software and hardware packages. And that's what we're doing now to wrap up phase one. So phase two, what have we been doing? Again, context. Phase one notice to proceed was in May last year. So March of this year, we had our engineer's estimate to move forward. That's our engineer at Vantech came up with an estimate on our construction costs. Because of the size and the nature of the project, the Federal Highway required us to do a value engineering exercise, which we welcomed and we performed. And we noted several things that could save time and or money and incorporated them. In June, we completed our final plans. Given those things, and our final plans were submitted and Caltrans approved them in July of this year, and they gave us permission to move forward with construction. So in August, we put our bid notice out and we conducted a mandatory pre-bid meeting. We were very excited at our pre-bid meeting that we had what we felt was a very good attendance. Several dozen individuals attended from a number of firms, including half a dozen general contractors. And we were very optimistic about the reception we were receiving. In September, again, all of this following this year, we had our bid opening. We received only one bid. We knew in talking to our vendors, the people supplying our hardware and our software, we knew that at least four general contractors had been at one time preparing bids. Our vendors had been giving them quotes. But when it came time to actually bid, we received only one bid. In fact, a second general contractor even came in person to the bid opening just to see how it came out. But we received only one bid. So we began an analysis, as we would have anyway, but especially a detailed analysis, given the fact that we only had one bid. The team that looked at this was the CVEG staff, Advantech, our design engineer, and TKE, our construction manager for the project. And the one bid came from Crosstown Electrical and Data. Not surprisingly, the contractor that was mobilized already for phase one and probably had the best idea of what the project was going to look like. The engineer's estimate that we talked about that was prepared in March was just over $66 million. The bid that we received was not to exceed just over $86 million. So, you know, in the 33% difference, significantly higher than our engineer's estimate. It is notable that this project is set up for 520 working days. So when you divide out those working days, that equates to a project that will take 2+ years to complete. And that's notable as we continued our analysis. So part of the analysis was that the estimate was in early 2022, which means probably work on that analysis started at the beginning of 2022. And as we all know, inflation has been an issue, both nationally, internationally, nationally, and certainly in Southern California. So that played a role that we noted. Probably the next biggest thing is middle mile broadband. And you think, well, this isn't a broadband project, but at the same time, we are putting in elements that are included in a broadband project. Our conduit, our fiber optic cable, both specialized items that are all tied to our project. And currently, there's over $65 billion allocated and being spent on middle-mile broadband projects in the nation and in Southern California. And in fact, in the last 90 days, even just here in California, over 44 projects have been put out to bid tied to broadband, which is tied to the fiber optic cable and the very specialized conduit that houses that. As I've mentioned several times, this is not so much of a construction project as it is an intelligent transportation systems project. Caltrans at the end of October in District 8. So here in our own Caltrans district, had a project out to bid, similar construction elements, not a regional synchronization project, but fiber optic conduit, a lot of the same hardware and software that we have in our project. They only received two bids. I guess they were lucky they got two, but the first bid came in at 35%. No, I'm sorry, 50% over their engineer's estimate. And their second bid was double their engineer's estimate. So that's the environment just at the end of October. That's the environment that we're looking at right now in these types of projects. I guess the probably the last piece in here is prices of key materials. And when I say prices, it's also supply chain issues with these key materials. But just picking out one in particular, the price of conduit, it's a specialized conduit tied to our fiber optic cable that we have to use. Looking at 2020, the price of that key material is up almost 50%. And the contractors bidding this project aren't looking at it today. They're also looking at it because this is a two-year project. They're looking at it 2 years from now, and they're looking at the same supply chain issues, the same inflation, the same competition for those materials. And just this one item was approximately 42% of the increase over the engineer's estimate. So there's a lot of factors at work. We looked at, again, we, the team, looked at, you know, should we go out to bid again? Should we break the project into smaller pieces? What can we do to try and optimize our tax dollars at work? And the conclusion was that the risks associated with the time and with receiving a even higher bid outweighed the bid that we have that we feel is in line with things going on in Southern California and in the country. And so we are recommending that we move forward. But before I get to my recommendation, I felt remiss if I didn't include a couple of photos from yesterday in the city of La Quinta. Here we are in the city of La Quinta's, as you can see in the background, Traffic Operations Center. To me, this was such an exciting window, not only into today, but into the future of just one aspect of our regional transportation CV synchronization project. This is just one component of it, is how we can use these traffic management center. So this is in La Quinta. You see, they also happen to be a backup for the regional center, but you see their video monitors, you see their workstations. They had a big event in town yesterday, the triathlon, the Ironman. And this is an event that traffic has raised an eyebrow, perhaps, in previous years. And this year, it raised an eyebrow in a different way. This year, the eyebrow was raised in how well everything went, a testimony to our program and also to La Quinta's staff, and especially Chris Gunterson, who's there pictured with the radio in his hand, directing traffic, literally. We coordinated between three cities, Palm Desert, City of Indian Wells, and the City of La Quinta. The event took place touching all three of those cities. We were able to access cameras and signal timing in all three of those cities. We had the Riverside County Sheriff's Department on hand. We had La Quinta's emergency management staff on hand. We had Public Works on hand. And everybody communicated by radio, by watching what was happening in real time. In fact, the screen on the far wall was actually watching the triathlon as it occurred, which was helpful because you got to see what they were coming up upon and what they were leaving behind as they moved through the course. In real time, direction was given to the field crews to move this, do that. Riverside County Sheriff gave direction to deputies in the field from this traffic operations center. Using the region's one traffic management center. You see there's a number of workstations. Click to the next slide. So the workstations, the first two you see are tied to the Traffic Operations Center of Lakita. The third one is part of their Traffic Operations Center, but it's actually their legacy system. It's their, it's the pieces that aren't yet connected into the new system. It's the Econolite controllers that they're using elsewhere, but they're able to operate them side by side. Again, testimony to the staff of La Quinta that has worked so hard to learn how to integrate these systems and use them side by side. This is a several phase project phased in. Our phase two is going to bring 18 more corridors. Phase three, which is not yet funded, but phase three will ultimately bring all of the intersections in the region into the new technologies and into the regional standard. And in the city of La Quinta, they even have a third system. On the far right, you see a screen and you see a workstation set up looking at the law enforcement's set of cameras and management system. So the city of La Quinta was able to integrate three different systems all at once and effectively manage a large event and pull it off. And it was amazing. And I think the city staff would be the first to tell you how exciting and smooth this went. I can tell you as a witness to this, we saw things that were problematic that perhaps didn't suggest a fix in real time as we watched, but we were able to flag them and pull them up so that when the city has a work session in the future looking at next year, we'll have some situations for the city council to look at and talk to staff about, hey, should we close this road? What should we do to make this work better? But in the meantime, we made real changes in real time to the traffic signals and to the staff deployed out in the field. And it was amazing. It was exciting. I was thrilled. I wanted to sneak those two slides in just because it just happened. It was an amazing use of the Regional Traffic Management Center and an amazing effort by the City of La Quinta's staff. With that said, our recommendation is in two parts. One is to execute a construction contract with Crosstown Electrical and Data for just over $86 million for phase two. And the second part of it is to work with Riverside County Transportation Commission to secure the federal CMAC, the Congestion Management and Air Quality Funds necessary to fully fund this project. That's the end of my report, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Well, Eric, I'll just echo what you said. I mean, our staff loves when we get new technology and can incorporate it. Our public safety cameras have been in place, you know, a little over a year, and we're having that update tomorrow at our council meeting. And just knowing the difference of the first Ironman, where it was a complete cluster and they were on the corners of the boxes getting yelled at by stopped traffic, is light years ahead in just a few years. And so they understand the potential. You know, we use that for the tennis event and needed to make changes on Washington for access points around Washington and Miles that we're able to communicate real time and really just eliminate large time frames of backup along Washington and Fred Waring and even on 111. So definitely worth the investment from a streamlining standpoint, learning standpoint, and collaboration with the law enforcement is extremely helpful as well.
Well, Tom, I can tell you that I think we got the right person for this job because, Eric, I can feel your enthusiasm and your excitement presentation. So thank you for being very, very thorough and going over all the variables as to just the cost increases. And it makes a lot of Are there any other questions or comments?
Chair, and I know that was a long presentation. My apologies for that. And an important one. This may be the largest contract CBAG has ever awarded, and a cost-effective one. We keep talking about $100 million for one structure on Interstate 10. We'll spend about $100 million to connect a lot of signals throughout the Coachella Valley. So this is an efficient use of taxpayer money. And I really applaud the work that Eric and the team has done. So we've come a long way.
I'd like to move the item, Mr. Chair.
I will second it.
And there is a second. All those in favor signify by waving your hands. Any abstentions? Any noes? Seeing none, motion carries. And I'd like to congratulate all the members of the executive committee for approving a good agenda, probably over $160 million of projects. So good work. We'll move on now to item number 9. This is information items. And with that, we'll move on to item number 10. This is a legislative update from.
Yeah. And Erin Sassy couldn't be here today, so she did provide a written comment on various legislative initiatives.
Thank you, and welcome, Mayor Middleton. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. I don't know if you want to just maybe say a few words. I know you've been working on an exciting Wednesday coming up.
We've got a very nice Wednesday coming up to spend time with Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, who is the governor's point person on infrastructure, and I'm really looking forward to taking a tour with him and Mayor Mattis to demonstrate how critical it is for us to get bridging on Indian Canyon at minimum, but preferably Indian Canyon and Gene Autry, so that the folks north of the freeway have safe and consistent access to Desert Regional Hospital.
Thank you, Mayor. With that, we'll move on to item number 11, public comments on non-agenda items. Is there anyone that would like to address the executive committee on non-agenda items?
Chair, we have not received any written comments, and I don't see any hands raised.
All right. We'll move on now to announcements. The next meeting of the executive committee will be held on Monday, January 30th, 2023 at 4:30 p.m. via Zoom. And we are now adjourned, but we will be moving into closed session.
Yeah, and just again, a reminder, you could either check your calendar link or an email you received from Erica at 5:10 with the link to the closed session. This meeting will stay up and running, and we will report on any reportable action at the end of this meeting. But I can foresee there is no reportable action. So if you're sticking around, I wouldn't recommend it. But if you want to check in with our staff or me afterwards, we'd be happy to provide you with any information.
All righty, we'll see you in closed session.
On behalf of the chair and the executive committee, I just want to announce that the closed session has ended at 5:56 p.m. and the meeting is adjourned.